Chapter 10, Safety Training. Some training has nothing to do with character building. It just keeps your child alive and healthy. These illustrations may sound harsh or cruel to some, but I have proven, along with many others, that this approach is both effective and safe. Gun safety. Being a hunting family, we have always had guns around the house. With our little ones, we made sure to keep the guns out of reach. But with the possibility of them sooner or later coming in contact with a loaded gun, we trained them for safety. With our first toddler, I placed an old, unused, and empty single-shot shotgun in the living room corner. After taking the toddlers through several no and hand-switching sessions, they knew that guns were always off-limits. Every day of their growing-up lives, they played around the gun without touching it. I never had to be concerned with her going into someone else's house and touching a gun. I didn't childproof my guns. I gunproofed my children. Hot stove. We've always had a wood-burning stove for cooking and heating. A red-hot stove can seriously burn toddlers. I have seen some awful scars on other children, but we had no fear, knowing the effectiveness of training. When the first fires of fall were lit, I would coax the toddlers over to see the fascinating flames. Of course, they always wanted to touch, so I held them off until the stove got hot enough to inflict pain without deep burning, testing it with my own hand. When the flame was just right, I would open the door long enough for them to be attracted by the flames, and then I would close the door and move away. The child would inevitably run to the stove and touch it. Just as his hand touched the stove, I would say, "Hot!" It usually took just one time, sometimes twice, but they all learned their lessons. Other than during the training sessions, where not even one blister was raised, we never had a child get burned. It was so effective that thereafter, when I wanted to see them do a backflip, all I had to do was say, "Hot!" They would even turn loose of a glass of iced tea. Sinking feeling. When our children were young, we had a pond in the immediate yard. As they grew to be toddlers, wandering around the outside, we always watched them closely. Yet knowing the possibility of one getting out of sight, we cranked up the training. On a warm spring day, I followed the first set of wobbly legs to the inviting water. She played around the edge until she found a way to get down the bank to the water. I stood close by as she bent over, reaching into the mirror of shining color. Splash! In she went. I restrained my anxiety long enough for her to right herself in the cold water and show some recognition of her inability to breathe. When panic set in, mine as well as hers, not to mention her mother's, I pulled her out and scolded her for getting close to the pond. She didn't swallow any water, and there was no need for resuscitation, except on my wife, who took several hours to begin breathing normally. We repeated the same process with all the children. It only took one time for each of them to learn respect for the water, and it sure made life easier for us. We did have trouble with Shalom. She is the one that became mobile early, crawling at 4 months and walking at 7. She always had marvelous coordination. She just wouldn't fall in. I got weary taking walks to the pond, so to bring the class to a timely graduation, I pushed. Oh, she didn't know it. As she was balanced over the water, I just nudged her with my foot. To this day, I still believe that if I had left her alone, she would have been able to swim out. But it distressed her enough to make her not want to play close to the water. No, they didn't remain fearful of the water. My children were all swimming by the time they were 4. We still watched them closely, and we never had a close call. The training worked. However, we do not recommend that you try this unless you are good swimmers and are sure you can maintain full control of all the circumstances. We offer these illustrations as a way to describe training, not as specific situations you should mimic. Get out fast. One winter, when my 2 girls were 9 and 11, they were riding with me in an old 4x4 Army truck. The gravel road was bumpy and rough, When I made a stop at an intersection, I heard the two 12-volt batteries located right behind the seats short out and begin to arc. An explosion of spraying battery acid was potentially imminent. The girls understood none of this. However, when I commanded, this time in a raised voice, "Get out fast," they didn't ask why. I immediately got out on my side to run around and open their usually jammed door. As soon as I cleared the door on my side, I looked over my shoulder to see how they were doing. They were gone. The door was still closed, and the window, which also sticks, was only open about halfway. But they were nowhere in sight. When I got around to the other side, there they were, piled up in the gravel road, rubbing sore hands and knees, a drop of 5 feet. "How did you get out?" I asked. "Through the window," they choked out. "Head first?" I asked. "You said get out fast," was their accusing reply. My son, who was driving another truck behind me, said, "I didn't know what was happening. Suddenly, they both came flying out of the window head first and landed in the road. I had trained them to jump upon command. They did. There may come a time when their safety or survival will depend on instant obedience. Duck or hit the deck has saved more than one life.